Girls, let me have your attention for a second. As you might have heard, I'm here to verify the whereabouts of a young girl. What's your name?
Lily.
Lily, I'm Officer Ed. Hi. Could you pass that around for me, sweetheart? That is her name, Rowan Woodward. Do any of you recognize the name or the photograph? Whose desk is this?
Trap the little old bird inside to see how long he can stand it.
Now, why in the hell would you let them do a sick thing like that?
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone.
Wonder if she's... Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
Hi Douglas.
Hi Damian. Andrew.
Hey.
Hi.
This is strange. Like, I talked to you last week. Like, why are we talking again?
Did we have enough content to fill the gaps so people didn't realize?
Like, it's just not normal anymore.
Hey. Yeah, we talk to each other all the time. Fuck you, I don't talk to this asshole.
I would never.
Sad pass is I don't know which one you're talking about, and I'm just going to assume it's me.
Well done.
But anyways,
contractually obligated.
But anyways,
for that sweet, sweet internet money.
Like the film we're going to be discussing today, I invite you all to a wonderful warm embrace in the snowy hills of whatever crazy land we're going to, because we're talking about Midsommar.
What's happening? Danny.
I was so very sorry to hear about what happened.
I'm sorry.
I invited Danny to come to Sweden.
You know what she's been going through.
Christian says you've got this special week planned.
It's sort of a crazy festival. Special ceremonies and dressing up.
That sounds fun.
Ari Aster's follow-up film to Hereditary, a film that I am willing to take a huge bet here and say none of us liked.
Fuck that movie.
Right, cool. Right, so we're here for his second round attempt.
And I hate that movie all the more because it could have been good. If it just wasn't a horror movie.
No, but there was a dollhouse. And dollhouse showed you everything that was going to happen. You just needed to pay attention, Douglas.
This film follows a bunch of college students. Our main couple of the crew is Danny, played by Florence Pugh. But she's the lady who I adored from Lady Macbeth. And Christian, played by Jack Rayner, and
nope, that's not his name. His name is Sing Street Brother.
Cool.
What? He's a brother in Sing Street.
All right.
I like that movie a lot. Okay.
These crew of college students have decided on the request of one of their fellow friends to go with them off to Sweden, to this guy's hometown, to go and see a summer festivus, or whatever they want to call it, Midsommar. To go and enjoy the bounties of Sweden in a commune of some sort. And at the same time, Danny has just lost all of her family and is very distraught. as well as the fact that their relationship is going awfully, to say the best. And so they're thrust into this bright sunshine in Sweden with flowers, cotton blend dresses, and a lot of questionable teas that we don't know a lot about.
Mushroom tea.
Now, I know that we might try, but I'm going to say it from now. We're probably going to spoil a lot of this movie because there's a lot of this movie that is very difficult to talk around. And we also are very bad at talking around movies. So, for all those involved at this point, if you have not seen Midsommar and you care, stop now.
Wait, hold on. Before you stop, let's at least, you know, just go around the table. Mm-hmm. Damien, you liked it?
Oh.
Andrew, you liked it?
Eh. I'm
3 for 3. Fuck this movie.
I have good things to say, but
I have things to say.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we go, fuck this movie. Skip about minutes
to where to wherever my track marking says.
Well, I just gave you. I was just doing it. You noticed the pause, so you could actually put in 52 or 78, whatever it is, so that they could do the thing. But okay,
I'm not gonna do that. It's too much work.
Oh wow, we're not even crap Fair enough point. To be crap. All right, cool.
So yes, Douglas.
I wonder if we can keep that in.
Probably not.
There was a time Andrew would, as he says, he doesn't care anymore and is not going to do any more work. Mm-hmm. There was a time Andrew would creatively work around some of our shenanigans.
I remember actually moving around conversations where like Damien spoils the whole of a movie and then I move around a lot of things so that it makes sense and I got to cut out the spoiler.
Yeah.
Don't do that anymore.
Andrew's straight disappearing parts of the podcast. I thought we had a conversation after that.
Nope.
Was I at this podcast?
Nope, you were not. So Douglas, if I am correct, I think I'd like to put you highest on the list of hating Hereditary.
And if I'm
wrong, fuck Damien, you are officially the most hated person in of Hereditary on this podcast.
No, I probably hate Hereditary more than Damien for the simple reason that I do believe if you took out the horror bits and made it a movie about the fucking loss that they went through and just, even if you simply cut off the last, I think it's half hour or so, and have a shitty ending, that movie would be fucking amazing. But they didn't do that, so fuck them.
It's not about that life.
So in Ari Aster's second attempt to meld grief and horror together, now going to a Wicker Man-esque film, tell me more, Douglas.
So this film is a very simple film. Mm-hmm. And the thing about simple films is that means you either really love it or you really fucking hate it. Because there's not much else to try and find to like. And guess what, guys? Fuck this movie. So the thing about this movie is that from start, you know exactly what's going to happen. It's not subtle about the type of movie that it is. It's not subtle about calling out exactly what is going to happen because it is exactly what all movies within this genre is. I will give this movie credit for one thing, which is the first, say, minute and a half has some conceptual things. Well, I don't want to say conceptual. It puts you in a situation where, and maybe this is just because me and Damien go dark, but it puts you in a dark situation.
That's racist.
No, it would only be racist if I said you were dark.
I'm
but if both of us are dark, I'm obviously it can't
black
be racist.
Face is not okay.
Oh shit, it's not. Damn it. I need to call my friend Justin.
Oh, well done. We both got to our Trudeau joke at the exact same time.
Yes. So the whole situation with this girl, Florence Pugh, Florence Pugh's sister and her parents, is wow. And also the thing about it is this is also telecast, but it's a situation that it's the same argument I had before. If you're into it, you're into it. If you're not, you're not. I'm into that kind of shit. And so
you're saying you're into murder suicides?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Did you not watch Stoker?
I think I need to call someone now.
Yeah, call fucking Park Chan-wook. He hasn't made a movie in too goddamn long. But yeah, so that just the potential for just shittiness that comes from a situation like that, I was like, oh, maybe I can be on board with this movie. But then it became this run-of-the-mill, I am going to take you to a place where we kill you movie. And it's strange because as I was watching this movie, I thought of a parallel of a movie that's pretty much the same exact thing, but that I love, which is the Ty West movie, The Sacrament, I believe it's called. And they do the same thing. You go to a commune, something seems a little fishy, and it turns out it's because it's a lot fishy, and everybody dies. And that, for one reason or the other, floated my boat. Perhaps there is some TIFF magic dust to be blamed. But this one, which was the exact same concept, the exact same story, I didn't enjoy. It was, and probably because from day one, you're like, yep, this is what's going to happen. And the thing I hate about movies like this is when they do things in the end that were blatantly obvious, but that you see, they think that you didn't see, right? Things like the fact that, I can't remember names, but the Swedish foreign student friend that brought them, that he was in on it and he's now very happy. He's like being praised for, oh, look, you brought us these special people to kill. And it's that line or that situation is done in such a way that it's clear. They're like, I'm going to M. Night these bitches right here. And no, you didn't, dude. You did not. There's also a point in the end where there's a bit of an implication that the May Queen, Miss mm-hmm. Pew Pew,
pew, pew.
Is enjoying that her boyfriend is dying in a puff of smoke. And again, that's not... So if they had built up to that a little better, right? She
came full circle.
So I don't feel, and I know a lot of people are going to say, no, there's all of these things that you can point to. And I know maybe it's that I'm not normal. So for normal people, there are a number of things that occur, including him being an asshole to her. Generally, him eventually cheating on her and her finding out. And Mr. I'm your friend, but really brought you here to kill mm-hmm. you. Blowing, you know, stoking the flames of her hatred for him. Things like that happen. So yes, it's not that they didn't try to lead up to it. But I didn't get that sort of...
You didn't believe there was any other outcome in this movie. You were just waiting for this outcome that you already assumed was going to happen.
Exactly. I was waiting for that outcome. But no, I'm more speaking towards not just the outcome, but the fact that she... Let's assume she enjoyed it. Because there's like a half a smirk there that I think they're mm-hmm. trying to say she enjoyed it. And that in any other in a Park Chan-wook movie... That would have been done, and that would have been the culmination of a thousand small cuts that you just mm-hmm. you'd be standing and giving them a standing ovation in your living room with nobody, right? And people, your neighbors would be like, "What is happening over there?" But this movie, you're just like, "All right, cool.
Of course, this is what she
did." Yeah, sure. I think so. I'm going to now try to say some positive things.
Okay.
I think there are maybe one or two hard cuts that were cut fun. So I remember early out in the movie, when they tell her, when she finds out that this guy is leaving to Sweden, and then they're like, all right, let's fucking invite her because mm-hmm. we're screwed up. And then it's like she gets upset in her dorm room or in somebody's dorm room and goes to the bathroom to cry. And yeah. then it immediately cuts to her doing the same thing in the airplane.
Right.
That was a fun cut, mm-hmm. right? And they do a few things like that. Also, there are some visual techniques, some visual things that they do, not just with things like camera movements and stuff, but also with the scenery. So, for example, the inside of the house or barn that mm-hmm. they sleep in while they're in the commune, really cool with all of the artwork that the is there. And one thing that I will shake somebody's hand for, actually, there is something I could shake somebody's hand for in this movie, which is, and I'm pretty sure Dave Chappelle fucking wrote this, yeah. right? Because there's nobody else that would have written this in there. It was a story about the pussy juice, all right? So they walk in straight and they play up this colony like it's a little bit, I don't want to use the word backward, but technology averse, right? And they have stories. You look at their holy books that are, mm-hmm. you know, very raggedy and right. old parchmenty kind of books. But also, they draw stories on walls. And specifically, there is a story that you see on, like, it looks like they have a few pegs and some, just a big piece of cloth wrapped around it. And it's just in the middle of the commune outside for some reason. I don't know why. But it's a story about, it's like a myth for them about this girl who, for one reason or the other, wanted somebody to love her, who I guess mm-hmm. didn't love her. And she cast a spell on him by cutting her pubic hair. And I have to say, the pictures look like it was a little more than the hair. There was some juice falling out as well. Putting it into a pie and mm-hmm. baking it and giving it to the man. And that picture of the man with his eyes like this were kind of funny.
There was also the menstrual blood in the tea that she did.
I didn't even catch that. But that okay.
part of it.
Yeah.
Yep. And you kind of just assume that happened somewhere in the middle because you saw one of those things happen.
Yep.
Yeah. It did happen. If you look at the...
I imagine it's when he gets the mushroom tea. Right.
If you look at the other two guys, if you go back, and you shouldn't, you'll see
should
that...
not.
You see that their tea is a lot lighter in color mm-hmm. than his tea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
Yep. And so somebody in real life actually does that. One of the ladies gets fixated upon one of the newcomers, Mr. And Brother from Sing Street.
And kicks him, which is what you do when you like someone.
Oh, of course, yeah. And she bakes him a pie with her pussy juice. So, you know, that alone. I could watch like a 5-minute, maybe a 2-minute clip of that.
Dave Chappelle would turn that into like part of a bigger skit. Like,
all right, fair enough.
It wouldn't carry 2 minutes.
Yeah, it wouldn't, no.
Be hard.
But yeah, that was fun. But I have to say, that was probably the only thing that made me stop and say, ooh, something good. I fucking hate this movie because it's so ordinary. And it's exactly what you think it's going to be. And there's really nothing special about it. Sure, people acted. Sure, people directed. But come on, you can do better than this.
Are you saying both teams didn't play hard?
Both teams played.
Okay. Then this film was mediocre.
At best.
Actively bad?
I felt it was actively bad. But if somebody objectively says to me that it wasn't, I can't argue with them.
Oh, I will. I am going to. Andrew, I'd like to go next.
Please.
You've got so much to talk about.
All right. Let's start with the characters. They're all bad, with the exception of the lady running the commune. Everybody else is bad at their jobs. Usually in horror movies, people are one-dimensional, right? So that it's fun to laugh at them when they get murdered. You don't have too much attachment. They're not real people. It's like, oh, these people are assholes and deserve to be murdered. That is only really true for the boyfriend and the dickhead friend that pisses on the secret tree. Like, those two guys getting murked, you get it. You're just like, of course.
Yeah.
They're the two worst people in the movie. William Jackson, the black one.
Oh, Chidi.
Chidi, right.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted to gain some information for his thesis and took pictures of a book. And that is why he got murdered. Because he broke their sacred laws or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone that breaks their laws, they murder.
The shadow law.
The first guy was because he and his fiancée were not having it when the old people threw themselves off the cliff. So they murdered them.
But it is a beautiful end to a wonderful life. You're just like,
what in Christ's name is happening? And
I love, by the way, sorry to cut you, but when he did that, right? So let's back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When they came here and he described the life cycle,
mm-hmm.
and the life cycle went to something like 72, and somebody actually asked him, so what happens after 72? And he jokingly does the, you know, the death sign, the we kill them by
finger on throat.
Yeah. And I saw that, and this is how upset, how much at that point I even knew I hated this movie. I was like, fuck you, you guys are doing this to make me try to think that it's not a joke,
mm-hmm.
or that it is a joke, but I know it's not a joke. That's actually going to happen. Yes. And you're going to make a big thing out of it when we find out. And guess what? They fucking did. I fucking hate this movie.
When the guy said, what's in the yellow barn? And they're just like, oh no, we're fun-loving people. Don't fucking go.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, movie. You have to make it less obvious.
Yeah.
You've painted it. It's a giant yellow sign in the middle of the movie. Like, that is going to be involved in the final scene.
Is that the boss level?
Where they murder a lot of people.
Yes.
And sure enough, it was.
Mm-hmm.
But you assumed, I assumed that because they were making it so obvious that there'd be some subtlety in the movie. And that is where I got extremely angry. Because the thing I like about The Witch is that...
The Vivitch.
Is that there are so... All of the things that you expect in that movie happens. But how the movie gets from point to point is what makes the movie special. This movie didn't learn any of those lessons. This movie is just like... this girl has a shitty boyfriend. Then you kill her parents off screen for reasons.
I was fine with those reasons, I have to tell you.
Was that...
That's the kind of movie I'd be down for.
And it's like, all right. And so now she is even more distraught. And you're just like, you didn't have to kill our family to get us there. Like, she was already a sad sack of shit before her parents died. We could have... She was having panic attacks and shit. Let's just keep this moving. And then you go and they tell you all of the things for this, you know, festival or whatever.
Festivus for the rest of us. We agree to this.
My apologies.
Already. Okay.
Once they kick off the murdering with the old people, there are two people at the festival who's just like, fuck this shit. They're immediately dead. Mm-hmm. And you go, whatever movie.
I love how this movie thinks that when they say, oh no, your fiance went to the station and he'll soon come back, that they think we think that that's okay. That they're not killing them.
The fact
you
that,
know,
that
you
lady.
Know, I'm going to take umbrage right here.
Yes.
Right? I've been letting it go.
Uh-huh.
I have words to say.
All right.
Right?
Fair enough.
Right, because let me make this perfectly clear before I even start. I don't think this movie is what I would call a remarkable movie. I think.
Are you looking for the word good?
No, I don't want to use the word good specifically, because I think this movie has things, right? I don't think they're things for me, right? And you keep going on about this movie thinks it's clever. I actually think the complete opposite. I don't think that this movie thinks it's clever or being smart or being coy with the way that it twists and turns around plot surprises. I think the movie knows exactly what this movie is. This movie doesn't sugarcoat it. I don't know how much of that is about the fact that we have seen 5 to 50 other horror movies, which are all the Wicker Man movies, which is, let's go to this lovely town, and these people are strange, but hey, it's a different culture, and guess what, we're all murdered by the end. Like, it wasn't hard to see that was going on, but at the same time, I got a feeling that this movie knew you were going to catch that quickly, right? And for me, watching this movie, it was about enjoying the rest of what this movie gave me, which is just the design of it. Like, so, quick FYI, I actually saw the director's cut of this, which is like 30 minutes longer, right? I don't know which 30 minutes that is, so I'm kind of trying to pick up from you guys if I hear anything that sounds like, and they cut there, and I'm like, wait, no, I saw that.
Well, let's just say that we did not see the sex orgy, right?
Oh, you didn't? Okay, that's I'm sorry. I'm still dying.
But the one thing that I'll say to you, Andrew, before you go on is, so I will take your point, right? Let us assume that this movie actually did in fact know that I know, right? So let's take that as a given. It cannot then still pretend as if it's being subtle. It needs to lean into that shit. So if it knows that I know, then make that a part of it, right? Make it be so, whether it's that it goes so ridiculous, whether it is that it keeps doing some sort of winks, or something, lean into the fact, use the fact that I know to make this a better movie.
Douglas, Andrew's version is the right version, then I now hate this movie and this man even more. Because that means you didn't try. This is a style over substance movie, but with not that much style. Because there's, like, if he's just like, fuck this, like, you know what this movie is, then what the fuck is, like, then these characters and the things that happen, play the movie in reverse then. Give me something to enjoy in this movie. Like, if you knew this is just a shitty movie, then what the fuck is this? Like, this movie is extra garbage.
And here is where I am. This is okay. Where I am, right? Yeah. Because this is the thing with this movie, and I know it happens to me every year with films like this, where I become enamored with the filmmaking behind it, the design behind it, because you guys talked about it already, the tapestry that you see telling the story of the woman making the man fall in love.
Pussy,
that
yes.
You see in this movie. There's another one early on in the film where you see the bear and the blonde-haired girl, and there's just like so many things in this film that I was seeing that are just things that look amazing and would be in movies I adore.
Instead of spending time putting that bullshit in the movie, write me a good story.
Right, and everything about everything about how the movie plays itself out when it comes to just watching actors act, right? Where you see the sequence and you guys talk about it with the old people suiciding themselves, right, off the cliff, right? That scene alone is a fantastic scene. I love how he puts his scenes together. However, with everything said, I left this movie feeling nothing other than, oh, it was Wicker Man. And I know I liked a lot of things, but I also know that this is the exact type of movie that I would come on here and I would spew love all over it because it did that great thing with the lighting. It did the great thing with the characters just doing what it's doing. And then 5 years from now, Damon would say, you remember Midsommar? And I'd be like, oh yeah, that piece of thing. And I would just not care that much about the movie anymore. Right? This is the frustrating thing about this movie, is that it feels like a film from a director who I'll be excited to see the next thing. But given that this is his second chance with me, and it's kind of the same feeling from Hereditary, where I see all the production things that he does so fucking well, right? That I'm excited to see him get like a story I'll actually be interested into. That now I'm questioning, do I still want to be excited for him? But yeah.
No, you don't. Actually, I'm glad that you did not tell me that this was the same guy as Hereditary until this podcast, because I don't know if I'd watch this movie.
Fair point. Fair point.
I did say sorry when I announced it.
Like,
I thought you were saying sorry because you knew I couldn't rent it.
For...
Let's say it's a little A, little a B.
Because I could have bought it, but I'm not buying that. Can you imagine how upset I would be if every time I go into Google Play, it's right there? Like, hey, Douglas, yeah. you want to watch a shitty movie again?
What's Google call helpline? I need to call and speak to someone to have them take the shit off me. Because I don't want any evidence that I spent 10 cents on this. Andrew, you've made me so upset by telling me that this guy is just being shitty this entire time. Like, when you, now that I'm thinking back, like, the fact that the bear and the girl with the crown is there, that means that instead of spending any kind of time writing better characters or being clever or anything else with this story, it was all set. Because now I'm thinking about it, and
yeah, all of the things that happened, table, you know, the bad things that happened were you saw it symbol. On you saw it on whether yeah. it's a book or a parchment or a wall, you saw it somewhere.
The table that
yeah.
they were sitting at eating shitty food was the symbol of the runic, mm-hmm. and they had the runics on their clothes, mm-hmm. and like that is things that, unless you're fluid in whatever language that is, you wouldn't have any real idea of like that is what he devoted most of the time and budget of this movie to have those paintings put up, to just like in Hereditary, that fucking dollhouse, just shit to waste yep. time. Like, instead of like spending the time on shit that matters.
Weirdly, you know how bad this movie was? This movie was so bad that at one point during the movie, while I was watching it, my brain had enough brain power to start and think about what it was focusing on was how Florence Pugh sounded so much like Kate Winslet in Eternal Sunshine. So I thought to myself, does that mean she's British? And I searched, and yes, she is British. Douglas. So, yeah. Douglas. Even though Kate Winslet isn't actually British. I don't know why I made that link.
If they had just gone, all right, listen, you know what this story is, right? You know where the end game is. So let us do the thing where you as the viewer knows what is about to happen, but these dipshits that are in the movie have no, just make them oblivious to everything and just have them drop like flies. Like, even that I'd have gone, well, all right.
Yeah.
But instead, I spent the money on glitter and bullshit and paintings.
Damien, effectively, what this man did is he made a Velociraptor movie bad. How the fuck can you do that? You have a Velociraptor in your movie.
Such trash.
And it's a piece of shit.
Like, the characters are trash. This movie is just bad. It is just, like, boy. And Andrew just made it worse. At least I thought he was inept. I didn't know he was yep. deliberately making shitty moves. Mm-hmm.
That's even more disappointing.
Is this a new dog tooth? No, it's not that.
Never. No, we watched the new Dogtooth last week.
That is actually correct. Apologies to Midsommar.
Oh, that was bad.
Don't talk about that movie.
When are we going to watch a good movie on this podcast?
Joker, we just have to cross.
And by the way, Andrew, apparently Damon is telling me Joker is out already.
Yeah.
So we can watch it over the weekend.
Yep. I was going to watch it tonight.
Yeah. So we can talk about that next week, I guess.
So Midsommar.
Yes.
Midsommar.
It's very good. And everyone should watch it.
It's about as good as the Dolphins' defense.
So there are other things I want to talk about. I kind of brought up my overall like problems, but now I want to descend. I want to come into the particulars of things that I thought were interesting, or at the very least, I enjoyed the experience of the scenes as to how they played out. So Danny, we find out, is actually our central pivot point of this movie. I will not have you guys keep making fun of this woman's name. This is Lady Macbeth. She's fantastic.
Pew, pew, pew.
This is me shooting holes in you. What you're saying.
There's something... There's a scene later on in the movie when the orgy is going on, which, oh my god, that orgy. Right? It is a ridiculous piece of camp, that orgy, where not only do you have women moaning together in solidarity, but you have an older lady say, "Honey, you're not doing it right," and gives a push to this guy, which, oof. But Danny sees this, right? And as if she didn't already have enough evidence that this man was a piece of shit, she witnesses him cheating on her.
Daggering.
Right? With what looks like a 14-year-old girl, you know. As if that would help or hurt the argument, listen, but, you know.
Listen, she was 15 and a half, okay?
Right. Listen, everyone's 18 if you're drinking mushroom tea.
By the way, I just want to say, I forgot that I wrote notes during this movie. And I just have to read out this one note. The one note I took from this movie is, she dazzled him with her pussy juice.
Yes, yes she did.
Stop talking about pussy juice.
Listen, it's in your movie.
But then following which this moment, she does what we've seen her do multiple times throughout this film, which is she begins moaning herself. She begins just externalizing her grief of that moment.
Yep.
But it kind of gets followed up with like all of these other women within the commune, like following along with her and like feeling into that emotion. And I don't know what it is, but something about that whole thing I just kind of liked.
Was corny as shit. Yes.
Yes, leave me. I'm admitting to things I like. Corny. Leave me alone. And even like towards the end of the movie when the bear suit is burning and like you guys talked about those winks and nods where they're like, is she enjoying this? Like, I don't think about it as her enjoying it as much as I think about it as her recognizing that she is quote unquote home. Where she has literally drank the Kool-Aid and is just like, I am in on this commune now, being this lone survivor of her crew and realizing they'll all cry with me. But yeah, otherwise, ridiculous commune shit, I kind of enjoyed like seeing the crush hammer that they use for the old people, seeing the amount of mushrooms that these guys consume, seeing the guy respond to when the sacred tree is pissed on. There's something about when you see good actors just act the shit out of their moments. And I mean, we talk about this all the time in films where we just kind of latch on to great performances. But this movie is littered with great performances. It just sadly I mean, no.
I think littered. I would. Sir. I would say that littered is probably the word of choice here,
yeah,
because it is littered with garbage.
The great performances are not the Americans, are not the foreigners. It is the commune people, right? All of the commune people just feel great to me, and I love that. And Florence, she is great. The rest of them are just
Florence without the machine.
The rest of them are just kind of whatever. Like, weirdly enough, recently I started to think to myself, if there was ever if this movie had a path in which that any of these people could have survived, right? Where it was obvious that they tried to make it clear that everyone died for their own sin, right? Whether it was Chidi taking pictures of the book, whether it was the guy pissing on the tree, or the two people who were the two other people who were just like, we out, right? Whether if there was any way that someone could have joined Florence to be like, well, I didn't sin, can I stay and be alive? Or if this movie was just always predetermined to be like, that's the way where they're all going.
I imagine that it was predetermined, and that actually Pew Pew's only fucking lucky because she got to be the May Queen, and they might just kill her anyway.
No, her family died, and they only perform this every 90 years. She'll be dead long before she gets there. How do you jump off a cliff head first and not land on your face? The lady did it. That man is trash.
Yeah, he really is.
He deserved a hammer. Being garbage.
Yep.
Andrew, I see what you're trying to do. You do this many times. You take what is actual garbage. And you say,
litter it with more garbage.
You're just like, what if instead of this movie, I perform this thought experiment? Think, what if this movie was good though, instead of it being garbage? I call it The Prometheus. And I will not have it. This movie is garbage. And you said it earlier, this movie is deliberate garbage, which is probably the worst kind of garbage. For you to know you're making something bad and still not hit it properly is not, it's not okay. You know what movie knew what it was? Okay. It was a horror movie, mm-hmm, and nailed the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. Trick or Treat.
I still haven't watched that movie.
Douglas, that movie is spectacular.
I believe that was a thesis movie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I remember
that. But I keep them saying thesis I want to in watch years. It. Yeah.
You should like that movie.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear that movie because that was the time I was just like, you know what, fuck all horror movies.
I remember that's what made me want to watch it because I didn't watch it. I didn't care. I wasn't on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then I heard, ooh, it was, Damien right. really liked it was the horror
it,
movie.
It was like, it and Cabin in the Woods. I was just like, maybe horror movies are turning a corner. Nope. And they're just like, maybe we know what these are. Let's just have fun. And then no. And this man made Hereditary and Midsommar, so I think it might be a wrap for this guy. I think this might be he's 0-2 and he's not
okay. So
better.
So question to that. Question to that.
Yorgos.
Can this guy be a Yorgos? Can this be a situation where someone hands him a script that he doesn't write? Because he wrote both of those movies, Hereditary and this. And then we're like, oh, we're back. So, all your positives and all your negatives have been gone and your positives are highlighted now.
What you want me to do is hope that lightning strikes again. Do you think Yorgos will ever make another good... Like, that's a wrap for him. You guys understand that, right? like, this doesn't end well for anybody. I don't trust this man or any directors of this ilk to turn it around. Because making good movies is hard. And he simply lacks the knack. So.
No, the name of the show is The Nick.
Oh, I'm sorry. He lacks the Nick. Doesn't have the same one. Speaking of shitty British words, Snatch Guy has a new movie.
What, seriously?
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that today. It looks it looks like I might actually sort of want to watch it.
Oh, you have to walk me through how we got to Aladdin. I said Snatch Guy. How do you get to...
We're talking about Guy Ritchie, right?
Yes.
Guy Ritchie.
He made Aladdin.
Did you not know
this? He made the shitty Disney Aladdin movie.
I did not. Fair, all right, fair enough. It was a simple, it was a straight line.
It was a straight line, yes.
I thought your brain broke halfway through.
No, 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 no. It's not one of the classic pulls. It was just like, yeah.
I'm not following, I'm gone.
He didn't really have to show much working.
Yeah. He showed his work. It was just, line one was the question and line two was that. Like an arrow.
So what movie is he making? What movie is this now?
He's making like one of his typical type of movie. And it looks
Hugh Grant is in it.
Alright, we're already talking my language.
It's coming out next year.
What's his name? Colin Farrell is in it.
Okay.
And everyone...
I have loved him ever since in Bruges.
Everyone... Because I think in Bruges was the first time he realized he wasn't the heartthrob acting. Like, he could just act.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone in this is just pieces of shit. Like, they're just garbage people. And it's, it looks okay.
All right.
It looks real okay.
Yep. When is he going to make Rock and Roller 2? When is he going to make complete trilogy? He said it in the credits. I remember Andrew was so excited. But Andrew loved that movie. And Andrew was like, look, it says the Rock and Roller is coming back. You remember that, Andrew?
Wait, Andrew, did you like that movie?
Andrew fucking adored that movie.
Oh my.
I wouldn't be surprised if right now he's been real quiet because he still does. Andrew?
So herein lies the thing. I liked that movie when I watched it. But I haven't seen it since. And thinking back on it, I'm like, did I like that movie?
Yeah, just hold on to that feeling then. Just don't verify. Because it's a waste of time for you to verify that.
There are lots of movies that I feel like that about, where I'm like, did I like that movie? I think I'd just rather not to watch it again and pretend I liked it.
There's two Spider-Man movies that I have that feeling
Tom
about.
Tom Hardy is in that movie.
There's two Spider-Man movies. The more I think about them, the more I go.
The first two?
Maybe, no, the Andrew Garfield ones.
Oh, wait. Did you like those?
I remember liking the first one. And the second one, I was just like...
I'll give you, Garfield is amazing.
And Emma...
Sure, all right. Yeah, I like her in everything. So, yeah, I'll give her that.
I
even
just
though I don't remember really
and
caring.
It didn't really matter. But the more I... Like, I've never watched them again. And the more I think about them... The more I am certain that those movies aren't actual movies.
They are straight up garbage.
They're mistakes.
They are ways for Sony to keep those rights.
And make a truckload of
money. Yep. Guess what? I mean, I know we didn't expect this. Spider-Man's back in the MCU.
There's no way. Listen, you guys told me. It was clearly stated that Disney... A multinational giant corporation.
Yes.
And Sony,
A
multinational giant corporation, had come to an impasse.
Yes.
And had shot each other in the face.
Of course. And think about it this way. As much as they're multinational, you have Disney based out of the US and Sony based out of Japan.
Right. They've been
Pearl Harbor, goddammit.
Yeah. They've been enemies since the dawn of time.
I'd like to just say that I truly believe that in this passing, this is what has caused Sean Layden to be gone. That he was...
That was the sacrifice they had to make.
That was the sacrifice they had to make in order to make that deal happen.
All right, so I'm going to now come out of this bullshit argument. Yes. What is a Sean Layden?
Sean Layden was the head of PlayStation.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. It's not.
It's very good that you don't know that. It's kind of scary that I know that.
Wow. I think he left because last year he told everybody, yo dogs, we're not going to PS, we're not going to E3. I don't have anything to tell you guys. I'll tell you when renaming your usernames is a thing.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of left and never came back. He's like, I can't deal with those questions anymore.
Hit PlayStation, people.
PlayStation. Chung, chung, chung. So, I guess we're done with this piece of shit movie. No, you guys were trying to convince me that lightning was going to strike another time. And people with a track record of only making garbage would make a good movie. So, okay, I watched two movies this week. Mm-hmm. I watched a good one and I watched a bad one.
Okay.
Which one you guys want me to talk about? The good one? The bad one first? Yes. Andrew?
Let's keep this shit short.
I'll take the bad one.
The bad one. Uh-huh. Okay, cool. So I watched yesterday. Actually, I watched yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday.
Oh my God, I need to hear all about this.
Smooth is not good. So, bad is a stretch, right? It's not the worst movie.
It's what I expected.
Actually, I would say it's below what I expected.
Fair enough.
Simply because it is a Richard Curtis movie, though he did only write it, right? But I have a soft spot for Richard Curtis.
Are you saying bad things about Danny Boyle now? I will not accept those.
It is also a Danny Boyle movie. And here's the thing about Danny Boyle. There was a time when I thought he was just untouchable.
The cat's pajamas.
Right? Then he took off the pajamas and just became cats. And we saw that trailer. That trailer's horrible. But no, in all seriousness, he became a little less reliable at one point. So nowadays I never know what to expect. Do I expect 28 Days Later? Do I expect Slumdog Millionaire? Or do I expect, say, Trance? Right? And that's a problem that I have with his movies. Because he will step up to bat and fucking direct Jobs. And it's amazing. And then the next movie he comes out is just garbage. And this movie was not garbage, but it equally was not amazing. And it's a little upsetting because I really like the concept. It's a dumb movie about what if I fell asleep and woke up and there was no Beatles.
Or Coca-Cola.
I love the guy's like, can I get some Coke? And you see the flight attendant being like, is it that kind of flight?
Yeah.
And he realizes, he remembers, he's like, oh yeah, right, Pepsi. And that joke is fun, right? So they do that from time to time. There just happens to be something that you don't think about that also is missing.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, what about this guy? And they're like, huh? And he's like, oh, damn it, really?
I had a good laugh when Harry Potter was gone.
Yeah. Harry Potter was a good one. And so they have little things like that I enjoyed. The general movie was fine, I guess. But probably my biggest gripe with it is that it was not as dumb and good as it could have been. Right?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
I kind of expected. Mm.
The one thing about that movie that I really, really liked, like, there was this looming presence of other people who remembered the Beatles.
Yeah.
And they were kind of, like, they were, like, building it up to be like, is someone going to out him?
Yep.
Right? But then I was kind of happy with the resolution of that, where they're just like, no, we're just happy to hear the songs again.
And they're like, but really, hey, dude, come on.
I really like the fact that he couldn't remember something.
Oh, yeah. Like, actually, Andrew, I remember Andrew was talking about it a few weeks ago. And so when they got to that point where he has Eleanor Rigby on the thing, I was just ready for the joke. I was actually smiling before. I'm like, haha, I know you're not going to figure this one out. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. So, yeah, him trying to remember what the lines are. And I love that one of the fans was like, yeah, so you got a whole last half of that song wrong. But it's all right. I kind of enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this movie, it's not fucking egregious, but as disappointing.
It also it just isn't me. It isn't the top 10 movie you wanted it to be.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
It also reminded me just how many Beatles songs are jingles.
Go fuck yourself.
Whatever.
I didn't grow up with them. It's not my fault Toyota stole all their songs.
They make good songs. What can I say?
I heard the DM What's My Name as like a background song for some ad. Yeah. I was just like, I've lived long enough that this is just background noise in an advertisement.
You know what though? They did miss out on one joke, which is they could have had him try to remember the words to Helter Skelter and then been like, you know what? Let's not inspire any problems.
Any murders.
Right? Any murders. But okay, so the next movie that I watched was Anna. Do you guys know what this movie is?
Mm-hmm.
I know what it is. I still haven't watched it.
So it is an action movie for those of you listening.
Oh, no, this is the good one. Oh, you gave it away. Thank you.
Damn right. Of course, I fucking love this movie.
I'm going home to watch it tonight.
It's an action movie directed and I think written also by Luc Besson. So there's this thing about Luc Besson. He makes some absolute horrible movies, but he makes just enough good ones that no matter what, I have to watch his movies. No,
when Luc Besson hits, he hits them out of the park.
Yeah.
And so when he misses, there's very little middling Besson movies.
Yeah.
You watch them and you go, this is absolute garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, nothing will ever get to the pinnacle is his peak is beyond everybody else.
Yep.
But we can't benchmark that. We can't use that as a benchmark. People get in trouble. But I love me some Luc Besson.
Oh boy. This movie it's fun. It's great. So don't expect just spectacularness, right? But it's a fun action movie. Yeah. This lady named Anna is, you know, trained by spies, becomes a spy, and so kind of plays 20 different sides. Yeah. Yes. Right. That's what it is. It's fun. And it has people like Luke Evans in it, who's just chewing out the scenery. Yeah. I take that back. He's not doing anywhere near the work that fucking Helen Mirren is doing.
Oh
my God, Helen Mirren.
I love me some Helen Mirren.
Okay, I have one question for this movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How much time do they waste on backstorying? I want to know if this is more Atomic Blonde or Red Sparrow. Where they're like, this is the building of a spy, or like you have the spy done and they're just murdering.
Hold on, you realize you just called two bad movies, right? Two
kind I know, of bad movies. But it's the end of the story. Like, is it the end of the story where they're like, okay, we have the woman who we turn into a spy, or do you already have the spy and she's on a mission just
no,
killing?
No, you don't really see the training. What I will say about this movie is they fuck around with time a lot. So they go back and forth very often, and it gets annoying a little bit, but you forgive it because of the action. They don't really do a whole lot of origining, but you do find out how she gets trained. But it's not like there's no training montage,
right?
It's adequate. It's acceptable. But I will say, as I said, the time shift is kind of annoying, but there's some pretty good action.
You're in it for the murder.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun as hell. And Cillian Murphy's in this movie with an American accent. He's fun. He is, and the thing about Cillian Murphy, he's great in this movie. He is kind of like, he's just an American superstar.
Do you want to name the things Cillian Murphy isn't good in? Such a short list.
Such very short list.
Because he's tremendous.
Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure we can all agree that he was good in Tron Legacy.
Yeah, he's good in everything.
He's good in everything.
Speaking of Tron Legacy?
Yes, he is. He's a hacker for 5 seconds.
Yep.
Oh my God.
How I remember that, being as I only watched the first
part of the movie?
I don't know.
It's the only good part of the movie.
Actually, that's not true.
No, that's a lie.
There's Electric David Bowie.
Fair enough.
All right. But speaking of which, Andrew, have you watched Peaky Fucking Blinders?
He did not.
Nope, so still haven't watched an episode.
Yeah, it's a trash person.
Andrew, we're scheduling this, okay?
Just step your game up.
Don't have the time.
Every Friday night, you're going to watch 2 episodes of Peaky Blinders.
Right, I will watch it with you.
I will watch it with you.
Will.
When we get to the end, we will talk about it. Okay. I really need to watch that show again. I love that show so much, I'm going to watch it again. Actually, should just buy it.
And they're putting the new season on Netflix like tomorrow.
Tonight, yeah.
And despite the fact that I saw it already,
I'm going to watch it again.
I'm a psychopath.
I'm seriously considering buying the Blu-ray. Maybe getting if there's
a
4K.
Bad idea.
Yeah. Especially because my internet is sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I have the latest season in an okay format, but I don't know. I mean, I subscribe to a service.
It fell off a truck.
That's
how I got it.
I stored it in the yard. It came in on the boat. I'm trying to find Peaky Blinder references here. It's not working. But Andrew, like, I know that you have other things to do. We all do.
Yeah.
And I know it's not reasonable to say that I want us to talk about it on this podcast. But Andrew, this show, and I try not to get over enthused about things like this, and I don't, and you can tell me if I do for TV shows like this, but this is one of the best shows I have seen in the last 10 years.
Is peak television.
I feel not strongly because it's been a long time since I've watched it, but I feel like I am more excited after watching this show than I was after Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it's a better show. I'd say that. Peaky Blinders is a better show than Breaking Bad. Peak British TV is better than almost all other TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than most movies. That's a goddamn show. It's the thing BBC can get away with because it's literally taxpayer money.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about returns. So when they make things, it is all in. It is not to, let us get new people in. They're the BBC. Fuck if you watch it. They just need it to be good. And that's pretty much. And so most of the times when their things hit, they're usually spectacular. Killing Eve is Jesus Christ. All right, anyways.
Oh, I should buy that too.
Did you finish watching Preacher?
Yes, I did.
Andrew, did you finish watching Preacher?
Yes, sir.
All right. We should talk about Preacher. We just spoke about Peaky Blinders.
Yep.
If I had to choose between Peaky Blinders and Preacher, I would probably take Preacher.
Those are strong words.
For one,
why is
I
love this show.
For
but
one
why?
Simple reason, there are shows like Peaky Blinders. There is,
I suppose,
nothing.
I suppose
there is nothing.
You make a
and
strong
will
argument.
Will ever be anything like fucking Preacher.
You make a strong argument.
And yes, it is based off the comic book. And now that this series is over, I'll go back and read the comic book. But with the exception of about 6 episodes 3 seasons ago or whatever,
it's been perfect.
The first season was perfect. This last season is as they nailed it.
Yeah, this last season was great. Andrew, I remember when Andrew was like, "Oh, this season's fucking bullshit."
He already apologized. In fairness, Andrew did his mea culpa last week. He didn't stubbornly go like, "No, I'm right." I enjoyed all of this season, and all of this season got me so excited that I forgot that Game of Thrones was also this year. And while everyone hates Game of Thrones, all the true fans,
hates Game of Thrones. I've said this already.
Yeah, this season was great. Go fuck yourself.
I give a shit. I was in it for the dragons. Someone asked, like, I was talking to someone about Preacher, and I said out loud, this is the most excited I've been since Game of Thrones ended last year. And someone said, Damn it, Game of Thrones was this year. I went, no, can't be. Because Preacher is the only good thing that came out this year. All of the things that happen in Preacher are special. Like, all the acting, all the directing. Like, we knew that from season one, but the fact that they kept nailing it. And all of their jokes are phenomenal. Like, their depiction of God in this final season is consistently incredible. Like, you fear him, and then by the very end, you're just like, oh, like, once they finally get to the heart of what he's doing, you're just like, this show is perfect.
I love that, at the end, Jesse is like, listen, just to let you know, I don't need this power to bitch slap you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, like, there's points in the season where he was building his new creatures, and you're just like, oh, he's going to destroy everything. And then at the end, when you realize that, oh, the reason he's in this position is because he's plumb out, like, he's tried, and he's just not getting anywhere with this. Like, he did the dinosaurs, and that was a complete farce. And then he started over, and he's just like, these people are the worst. Yeah. But let me try again. And he's just like, I am not getting anywhere with
all
this.
All he wants is for them to love him.
And, oh boy. Oh boy. Her star.
Oh yes, her star.
Good Lord. I mean, it goes without saying that I'm going to buy this TV. Like, this is obvious. But I heard some report that the reason Netflix doesn't go more than two seasons with certain shows is because all the data says three seasons in, they don't bring in new viewers. So there's no point in doing that because all you're doing is keeping people that's there. You'd be better served giving new shows that people get. And I went, the fact that AMC, because we heard about ratings problems with this show, we heard about, they're just like, listen, we started down this road, we're just going to bite the bullet and give you guys what you want. Kind of like what Fox did with Legion. And I really respect that. Because as much as we live in a world where networks, today was a prime example. We came to Douglas's house and there was football on the TV, but Douglas didn't search for the channel that the football was on. Google's data center said, you sir want some football, and just presented football. And so it is with most TV shows. The networks don't matter, the platforms don't matter. What you want is the show. But it does endear me to the networks that do that. Like Fox and AMC.
Yeah, of course.
I'll give them.
So if you see a show is them, coming from AMC or FX, right, you're probably going chance, to give them a chance.
Right.
Yeah.
Where if I see the same show and it said NBC,
speaking
I'd be
of
like,
AMC,
hard pass.
What's going on? Why has there not been a new Fargo season? I assume they're cancelled, but what's going on?
No, they've been announcing cast. It's happening.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yep.
Because that's 2 years ago now? Three?
A year, I think.
No, man. Fargo?
Yeah, wasn't I watching the last season like last year?
I just assumed three people watched that season.
Yeah, me too.
And it's the three people on this podcast. And that's a terrible business model.
The last time there was a Fargo was right before the new lady came in, the lady in white came into
whatchamacallit, and she came into Jesse Custer's life in season 2. I'm pretty sure.
I think there's more seasons of Fargo.
I don't think so.
I think you're wrong. I have more seasons of Fargo than that.
No, I think there's, what, 3 seasons of Fargo?
I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm going to
there are 3 seasons. I'm just double... The third season was in 2017. So yeah, you're right. 2 years.
It's a long-ass fucking time.
It has been.
I've been waiting for season, it because I'm just like, come on, guys. I want
the
more.
Next season is scheduled for next year.
Jesus.
Let me look at something because I remember seeing...
At least next year is close because it's fucking October already. Is it early next year? It better be. Goddamn January show.
Right, so they announced Ben Whishaw, Jack Houston...
For every day we sit...
And Jason Schwartzman to be in Fargo Season 4.
That's this month, isn't it?
At least I think so. Let me check. may not fill you with false hope.
And I know that Jack Ryan is supposed to come back this year as well.
Yeah.
So I have at least 2 weekends that I need to watch Amazon for.
And Timothy Oliphant is going to be in Fargo Season 4.
Yep.
Douglas, ignore what I just
said. Oh, you asshole. When is it?
It's in 71 days.
Jesus Christ.
December the 13th.
Ugh, 2 months.
Oh my God.
All right. So Timothy Oliphant is in it?
Yup. As well as other people.
I like Timmy.
Okay. Yep.
Timmy!
You and I just think too fucking alike.
We're the same person. I've said this for a long time.
So what were we talking about? I got confused.
We're talking about Preacher. The absolute best.
And we kind of got into this argument about how if, you know, generally we're no agnostic to platform and to network, but there are a couple who allow their shows to breathe.
Right.
And that's like AMC and FX.
And give them more chances.
We give them more chances.
I mean, it's the same thing for us with movies. When A24 has their brand on a film, we're like, all right.
That's true. That's true. If I say A24, I'll at least think about it.
I mean, even though they gave me Midsommar. That's your dark point.
Yep. It's like there was a time when for me that was it Focus? I think it was Focus that I was into.
Remember when Miramax was the company?
No, they weren't, actually.
You saw Miramax and you were like, I'll watch that.
No. You saw Tarantino movies and it just ended up all being Miramax. That's what happened to you. Miramax was just a movie place. Place for lots of things.
Fair enough. I saw that Fleabag won a lot of awards.
Yeah. I have... So... When that came out, clearly you and I are about to have the same conversation, right? Because when that came out, I remember that I watched maybe the first 2 episodes 3 years ago and remember thinking, oh, this is fun. This girl is the worst. I will continue. And then never did. I, since then, have decided to rewatch and I started watching, and I think watched the first episode 2 weeks ago and haven't continued again. But, apparently people love it, so I'm going to try. How far have you gotten?
She is special, the show is not.
Ah, it sucks.
She
wrote the first season of Killing Eve, by the way.
So I hear.
Yeah.
If you want to watch someone being terrible, there's a show called You're the Worst. Like, it's literally called that. And if you want to watch the step up off that, there's one called
Catastrophe.
And you can do that. I, based on Andrew's suggestion, I watch Counterpart.
Wait, as in the Star Show?
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
That's probably my suggestion.
I have no idea what that show is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right. It was under the Andrew column. Yeah. Andrew, I apologize. Fuck you.
Alright, fair enough. Fair enough.
Alright, so like Fleabag, he's special, the show is.
Fair enough. I think I came to that realization at the end of the second season, but
yeah.
I still enjoy that show.
Fair enough. I
think I spoke about Chernobyl already on this
podcast. No, you haven't, but I think everybody in the world has. Apparently, it's the greatest thing ever made. I still haven't watched
it. It's like a notch below that.
I've watched one episode, and I kept meaning to watch more.
But it is good.
Oh, okay.
But it I checked, I double checked, it didn't actually cure cancer.
Okay,
cool. I did check.
Actually, it probably created cancer. But speaking of HBO, what I did start to watch, which is something I've been meaning to watch for a long time and really like the first episode and I'm going to continue, is Succession.
Oh, all right.
No. Well, Barry, you thought I was going to say?
I Los Espookies.
Really? Is that good?
Oh,
I see that in the trail of shit that is clearly from like HBO Latino and HBO Europe and shit like that.
Douglas Robinson.
Really?
Get yourself.
Oh boy.
Some. I don't. I want to suggest this to Andrew too. I'm afraid.
Ooh.
I want Andrew to come here and give me shit. But Douglas Robinson.
Okay.
Remember Andrew's description of Midsommar, where it's a man who knows what he's doing, but he's just terrible at it?
Yeah.
Imagine if someone said, let's take every single stereotype of Hispanics and let us tell jokes. Let us put in the most ridiculous characters we can find, and let us put them in the dumbest situations imaginable. And let's just go. And I like it.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
Okay.
I didn't expect to, but I did like it a lot. The show that I did not like is Pen 15. Now, someone told me to watch this show.
I don't think I know this one.
Andrew? Was this
what
you?
Show is this?
Pen 15.
No idea.
So, for some strange reason...
You got this from external places, and I want you to take it back where it came from.
All right. In that case, do not watch Pen 15.
What is it supposed to be?
It's a show about a girl who is not real popular.
Okay.
And then there's... Listen.
Yeah.
Don't watch the show.
Yeah. You started down a road I really don't want to go down.
To me.
Yeah.
Don't watch the show. Also, Vida is okay. It's not great.
I see you had yourself an HBO night.
I just figured I hadn't seen these shows.
Yeah.
And now that the shows that I truly love, Peaky and Preacher was done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to fill the void with other things.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I had seen all the sports. And so I decided to try some new stuff. And I was pretty disappointed except for Los Espookies. Like, the title tells you what type of show it is. And it doesn't disappoint. Which is good.
Okay.
I think employment would help you.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't
yes.
it?
Do I watch any movies?
That's it. All right. Well, to kind of tack on to Douglas, Douglas, keep watching Succession.
Yeah, it looks great.
I am like halfway through the second season right now.
Yeah.
It's a joy. I was worried at first because like the filming of it feels very officey. Like they have that little documentary camera where they do like that zoom where you almost think they want to do a joke.
Actually, it's funny. So you're saying that as a bad thing when I like The Office, and I'm about to say a bad thing when I know you like this thing, which is I felt it was more like that asshole. Ocean's 11, Soderbergh, Steven Soderbergh. That's what I think of when I watch this show in terms of how the camera moves.
But also, like, just ignoring all of your Soderbergh hate. The first season, I feel like it's all about Brian Cox getting better.
Oh, okay.
And, like, Culkin and the guy Ted. Ted is so fucking good.
Ted. Is that the British guy? Is that McFadden?
I don't know his real name. If I knew his real name, I would have said he's
the guy that
Shiv's husband.
Yeah. That's right? Him. He's fun. He's a British actor. I like him in a bunch of other stuff that he's in.
Yep. And he's great.
He looks good in this show. I've seen a trailer where one of the sons, I guess, asks him, "So I can trust you, right?" And his response is, "Yeah, you can trust me, to a point."
Yeah, he's brilliant.
He's an asshole. How he dealt with the newcomer cousin in that.
Oh, and the two of them stick together. Boy.
Oh, nice.
And he is awful. But anyways, I'm enjoying that show.
Yeah.
I don't have that much to talk about. I guess I can pull out Douglas.
Okay.
Do you want the good one or the bad one first?
Let's go with the bad one.
Yes.
Okay. I watched Escape Room. Do you know what Escape Room is?
Is this Stallone and Schwarzenegger?
Nope. No? This is completely different.
Okay.
This is a movie that came out this year. Uh-huh. Horror film. With random litany of people, including the boyfriend from Insecure and the writer from Daredevil TV show. That's all I can describe them as.
By the writer, do you mean the former secretary?
Yes, former secretary
Paige, who turns into Paige something.
Yeah,
right?
I think she was also in Sookie Stackhouse.
Yeah,
right?
She is. She's the crazy vampire, new daughter.
Sookie. Everybody else, I couldn't name them to tell. Couldn't even pretend. But they all end up in an escape room, kind of like the whole game that people go to go and escape, and it's like the PG-13 version of Saw. And the movie is bad, but it's one of those horror movies where they're like, you know what you came here for, and they just kind of roll with it. And some of the effects are fun. The movie moves fast enough that you're like, I don't care that hard, but yeah, whatever. The movie's bad.
Quick question. Have any of you ever been to an escape room?
Nope.
I have.
Because you live in fucking Canada.
Was it good?
No.
I went here.
Yeah, I know they have been.
Andrew?
Oh, I thought you were going.
No,
I interviewed to work at an escape room last year while I was studying. Because it was in the period of time where I'm like, I'll work anywhere.
This podcast is over.
Right? Can't. And part of the interview process was they made us do the escape room.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't get the job.
Oh my god.
That was my one and only experience in an escape room.
Where did this happen?
This was in Oakville, where I was studying.
Oh my god.
I thought you'd like that since you asked.
I can't wait for your memoirs to come out so I can laugh after you for the rest of my life. You've lived that interesting life.
Oh my gosh. I escaped the escape room.
With my dignity, but no job.
No, with no job and no dignity.
Oh, never mind. So you're still trapped in the escape room.
The escape room of life.
Yeah. It sounds like an R. Kelly song. Yeah.
Trapped in the closet or the prison. Oh, my God.
I wanted to know if they could be good because I went to one here.
Yeah.
And so it's bad, but of course it was. It's enjoyable. Like, usually, an escape room is big and is intricate. Mm-hmm. I went to someone's house and there were two rooms. So, it was trash. So, you said this movie is also trash, which...
Yes.
Which,
I mean, keeping with the escape room theme.
It's consistent with,
escape.
Yeah.
Escape. So, anyways, on to the other movie, which it's... Nice that we're just having like an HBO conversation day.
Ooh,
because
it's about time.
I watched the Diego Maradona documentary.
It's not TV.
Yes. Right. which I sadly had to wait this long because fucking HBO bought it. Directed by the guy who gave us Senna and Amy. He now focuses his eyes on Diego Maradona in his years while he was at Napoli. And Damien may know 99% of the information in this movie already. But guess who didn't know any of it? This guy.
It didn't mean anything with Senna. I knew all of that information too, and that documentary was still one of the greatest I'd ever seen. So I expect the same with this one.
This documentary is pretty goddamn good.
That's fucking amazing.
I adore it. Maradona was so fucking good. Like, it's kind of sad watching the clips of just the football part, where you see them end all of them with somebody slapping Maradona in the face, right? Where Maradona is just like, I'll out chop you, and then the Italian defender is like, you momo.
It's just like, listen, if I can't tackle you with regular football, I'll tackle you with American football.
But yeah, documentary is pretty goddamn fucking good. Lots of great footage. It's still interesting to me to see this guy make documentaries where you can see he's like editing in his own drama, where like some of it is like tabloid-esque, where it's something I was thinking about recently when it comes to like documentaries and just generally documenting of life, like especially in the world we live in where everyone has their cell phone out recording everything that's happening to them.
Yes.
Where I come to realize how silly it is to record everything and knowing that you'll probably never watch that footage again. But at the same time, once you have give it enough time and you collect all of it, you can make your own drama out of it and your own narrative as to what happened there.
Andrew, did you listen to the Totally podcast that the series they did in the summer where they actually talked to this guy about this movie and what he had to do to get some of those clips?
Yes, I did. I listened to what he had to do for some of those clips and for those interviews with Maradona himself that he puts over them, where he's like, I only had 5 sessions and I had to like plan out where to ask the rough questions because they told me that if you ask those things, he'll fucking leave.
Because that actually is what has piqued my interest in this movie.
So it's on HBO. So
yeah, I saw.
It's like, I mean, there's also a shit ton of football shit in there, like stuff I didn't know, like the drama of the 90s World Cup as it related to him and his career. I didn't know that, but that is just fascinating to me.
Cocaine, especially, is a hell of a drug.
like beyond the cocaine and shit, like just what that country did to him at that stage, just because of that World Cup. Because I was talking to, and I actually want to mention this, Renata was watching this with me, and I was trying to think of anything comparable. I was trying to think of anything comparable that I've seen in football, and the only thing I could think of, which is like nothing, it actually is nothing compared to this, is the Ronaldo Rooney World Cup thing.
Yes.
Right? Where for a hot minute, people were like, what's going to happen here? And then he just fucking continued playing football at Man United. What hell? What happened? But side note to you guys, bringing back in Aw, Come On and football together. She started watching a lot of football, and I left her alone watching Chelsea, and I think I heard an Aw, Come On for Chelsea.
Yes!
You did it, Douglas.
I did it!
Tammy Abraham, and you did it.
Yeah, Mason Mount for the win! Yep. The Chelsea babies have got a new fan!
Yep. And she will die like you will die before they win anything.
Uh, It'd be funny if she comes on now and is like, wait, no, whoa. I was cheering for the other side. Yes. I wanted West Ham to win.
I don't know what this Chelsea nonsense is. I was all come on when Chelsea scored, because I don't like that team.
So, yeah, that's kind of what I've been watching. What else should I mention? No, none really. Nothing else.
Can't wait to watch that documentary.
I rewatched Lupo because people are talking about Ryan Johnson. Fucking love Lupo. Because
Knives Out.
Because it's tremendous.
Yeah, Lupo is great.
Can't wait for that movie. And
why don't I own that movie?
I don't understand.
Yeah.
The words you're saying.
Why don't I own... I don't think I own any of his movies, which is sad.
The things you're saying doesn't make any sense.
Because I love all of his movies.
The only one I don't own is the new Star Wars one. I keep telling
you guys to make lists. You know what fixes all of this? A list. Because then when you delete them... They come off the list and you can still look at the list and go, I should get these.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are just wigging it.
You just wake up one morning and you open up Amazon and you're like, what's cheap?
Every Black Friday, you're just like, oh, I should buy this. And then they come in like, oh, I already have this. I'm an idiot.
I feel like I've done that before.
Yeah, of course you have. You're Douglas. If you didn't do that at least twice a year, I'd be disappointed. I should get one of these. Oh, shit, I have one of these. So, yeah. Midsommar is goddamn garbage, but I saw some stuff.
So. Yay.
Loneliness is the coat you wear. A deep shade of blue is all.